Rough and ready lumber near Cave Junction died last spring. Memorial Day last year was like a memorial for a dead lumber mill, and that looked for all the world like the final chapter for the business and its dozens of workers. Until a few weeks ago. It turns out Rough and Ready Lumber may still have some life left in it. The mill's owners now plan to reopen it later this year with a boost in money and technology from several sources. Jennifer Phillippe is the owner of Rough and Ready Lumber and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us again.
Sure.
So go back and give us some history here. This is the Krause family's operation, and about 90 years or so it's been in the family?
Yep. 1922, they started in Selma.
And that was your grandfather?
Right, my grandfather and his brothers.
Mm-hmm. And so it's been continuously in the family since that time?
Yes, it was called Krause Brothers back then, and they moved around in those days to the forest, and it wasn't until the 1940s that we landed here and on Rough and Ready Flat in a fixed base operation.
Anybody know why that's called Rough and Ready Flat and Rough and Ready Creek?
You know, the creek was called that, and my grandmother named the company after the creek and the flat. In fact, she was on the garden club that created the Rough and Ready Botanical Wayside, so we were all pretty connected to this area, but I don't know how the name started.
Oh, I passed by that Botanical Wayside so many times on the way to the coast on 199, never thought about who put it together, so your grandmother.
Yeah, well, it was a local garden club. She was part of it.
So Rough and Ready has shut down, or had shut down in the past, hadn't it? Why and for how long?
Well, we shut down, you mean before this last year?
Right.
We shut down in 2002 and started back up just running our conventional mill. We had two mills here, and the small log mill was sort of our future, but with the uncertainty in the 90s of, log supply that came about from the spotted owl listing, it just was hard to do more capital improvements in that mill that would just create more production and need more logs. So things had just come to a screeching halt, and we, in 2002, decided to focus on our conventional mill because it would use fewer logs and needed less capital improvement. It could use fewer logs and get high value out of those logs, but we just had trouble getting a supply close enough to home that we could make that go. So now the small log mill, which is where we had started heading, is where we're focusing again. Pine is kind of our focus, and we'll still be producing the same kind of products we had before. The difference is that mill will be improved in efficiency and both some sawing accuracy, so we can get more lumber out of every log, and the speed which it produces those logs. So just that efficiency is going to allow us to kind of make our way. It makes a one-shift operation still feasible. We're going to still be pushing for federal log supply that allow us to go to two shifts, because that's much more effective to run, fuller capacity. But one shift will work at that more accurate small log mill than, more than it did at the more hands-on conventional sawmill.
It's been pointed out many times that between BLM and National Forest land, about two-thirds of Josephine County is federal forest, so this seems like a place where certainly traditionally your family was able to pull lots of logs in from the local area. How far afield did you have to range in recent years in order to pull logs into the mill?
Oh, we were having to go 200 miles down into California, quite a distance, and that just didn't work. And the forests around us in the Illinois Valley are 80% federally owned. So, like you said, it used to be a great place for a sawmill, and we struggle now. But, we're seeing a glimmer of hope on federal forest policy, both on the House side and the Senate side. There are bills that are being looked at, and I hope, something will come out of those time for our representatives and senators to come together and create some certainty and, for the communities and the mills that kind of fuel the economies.
Certainly two very different bills, though, because
yeah.
the Wyden-DeFazio-Schrader bill in the House that already passed, and then the Wyden bill in the Senate that still has some distance to travel, both of them trying to get more production off of the BLM lands, the former ONC lands, which I guess are right around the mill, aren't they?
Right. And the most important part for us is certainty, and that's the piece that I hope that Senator Wyden will add to his bill. we just, at this point, don't see that certainty that we really need, and so we're making this capital investment and kind of counting on him to and the House bill to come together and create some kind of compromise that'll provide volume and certainty.
Jennifer Phillippe is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the owner of Rough and Ready Lumber, which is planning on reopening in the Cave Junction area later this year. You can join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Jennifer, do I hear you saying that it doesn't have to be so much a big number as just a certain number?
You know, a number that would support the mills that are in business here now would be very important. Log prices are very high because of the lack of supply. So a reasonable number and more important than anything is certainty.
All right. So when you say the small log mill, so you have actually had essentially two sawmills within one compound there?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we were one of the first small log mills, computerized mills built back in the 70s, and that's kind of where we saw things go as we saw, you know, federal forest policy kind of go in that direction. But like I said, the increased volume to make a kind of a high production mill made that hard with the lack of certainty in federal timber supply. What we're doing now is kind of a hybrid of, you know, there's other mills that produce high volume, high production, and our old mill was a high quality mill. This new endeavor will kind of meld those two. We'll still be producing high quality products, and a lot of the same logs will be going through that mill. We'll just be adding the smaller diameters to that mix that we had been passing by the last few years.
When you say products, for the benefit of folks who don't know what you put out there, I mean, you put out 2x4s or dimension lumber generally, or what?
Not so much. We're in a mixed conifer forest here in southwestern Oregon, and mills kind of specialize these days. We used to try to do it all, but like Swanson and Glendale, they concentrate on high production and dimension, and we'll focus more on pine logs, and like we have for many years. And we sell to door and window manufacturers. Our wood goes to, you know, Brightwood in Central Oregon, and their big customer is Anderson Windows, and we sell to Pella and, you know, those Rogue Valley Door right in Grants Pass. And so our products go into kind of appearance grade lumber for doors and windows.
So the finer, knotty-free sorts of things.
Yeah, and that's what's on the outside of a log, but we'll still be cutting commodity products for, you know, the you always have that for the, you know, more common grades.
So was the mill completely silent then? Has it been silent since last June or so?
Yes. It's just eerie. You go out there, and it's really sad to see a quiet sawmill like that. It's funny how fast it gets filled with birds and coyotes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how many people had work there at the time of the shutdown?
Well, most recently we had about 85 employees, but before that, back in before 1990, we had 225 employees here. We had two mills and three shifts. And then we went down to 145, and then we went down to 85, and we were just, you know, we're as small as we can get and still operate. So this new mill will only use about 67 to 70 employees.
All right. So
but it'll be, those jobs really add, there's a lot more jobs than those direct jobs, because we don't have our own loggers or trucking companies. So there are a lot of other direct jobs in contracting.
So those companies will have to bring some people on as well to help bring things into the mill.
Yeah, and that doesn't even count, you know, restaurants and gas stations and, you know, things like that. But, you know, what gave us some confidence to do this is when we shut down, the next week Governor Kitzhaber sent a team down here to help kind of brainstorm ways to bring us back, and we were just so impressed with that group of people that came and helped our, you know, they set up programs for our employees to get through and education programs and, you know, then just ideas to the governor commissioned a study with the Small Diameter Collaborative here in Southern Oregon to look at, you know, stewardship projects and things that could be done in Forest Health to help with log supply, and we met with the BLM and the Forest Service in Region 5 and Region 6 and talked about volume for all of us in southwestern Oregon. And so there's been a big effort, kind of a coming together of a lot of people to try to make something happen, and we deeply appreciate it. The people in our community are just, we're so devastated and are so excited now to see what's happening. I think sometimes we feel kind of forgotten down here in rural Oregon, so it's a big boost to see that attention come from both Salem and national.
Jennifer Phillippe, given how fast that attention came from the governor's office, did you even have time to do things like begin to advertise mill components for sale or anything like that?
We started out kind of looking at every opportunity. We looked at selling the mill. We looked at finding a partner to help run it. We had an auction kind of almost set up. And these new market tax credits that are available for revitalizing economically depressed communities were something that we had kind of seen before, but EcoTrust in Portland came to us with that idea. It seemed a little too complicated to us, but they kind of walked us through it. And between the governor's support and the new market tax credits and some of the efforts that are going on in Congress with federal forest bills, we decided that we'd give it a go. We did a lot of the work to sort of market ourselves for another buyer, and then that just didn't come together the way we hoped it would. So we thought, well, we'll give it a shot ourselves. We're sure committed to this community. I'm the third generation. My kids are the fourth generation here, and these are our friends, and we feel terribly responsible. And to be able to even bring back, you know, two-thirds of the jobs is really comforting to us and important for our community.
It's a big deal to have that many jobs come back at once, certainly. So what is EcoTrust exactly?
Well, they're a conservation group in Portland, and they're a thoughtful, you know, I kind of personally kind of categorize some of the conservation groups in different categories. You know, there's kind of the more extreme, we don't want to cut a tree kind of group, and then there's other groups that have developed that recognize that they need sawmill infrastructure to do the forest health work that we all care about in the forest. And EcoTrust is one of those groups. They're a moderate, thoughtful group. You know, there's others, Nature Conservancy, and you know, there's just sort of a development and a real coming together of industry and some of these groups, and it's exciting that we all, you know, forest health is what we all care about because it's important for our sawmills and it's important for our ecology. And you know, I think a lot of people forget that those of us that live in these communities, we spend our whole lives in the woods, and we would, you know, soil our own nests. And what we do on the weekends is to go out and hike and love those forests just like conservation groups.
So, Jennifer, how much will it take then to do the re-equipping that's necessary, and when will the mill actually be ready to open and begin running wood through again?
Well, we have two projects going on. We have the sawmill upgrades and efficiencies there, and that's a $4-4.5 million project. And then we have a planer mill upgrade that's about $1.5 million. So those will be finished by the middle of June, and we plan to be running by the end of June and going full speed in 1st of July.
So are the days pretty busy for you guys trying to get all the pieces together for this?
Yes. We don't have a lot of staff right now, so we're doing about 20% of the work with about 50% of the work with about 10% of the staff. So we're all real busy.
Not to make this too political, but did it help that this is an election year, that you got the attention of the governor who's running for re-election and a senator who's running for re-election and a congress member who's running for re-election?
You know, I don't think so. I think our timing of shutting down happened to be in the midst of that. But we've been talking to all those folks, and I was on the governor's ONC panel, you know, a year and a half ago, and, you know, he was just as concerned then as he was later. And Congressman Walden and DeFazio and Schrader, you know, they've been worried about this. They've been working on their bill for some time. And Senator Wyden was the chair of the Natural Resource Committee, and he was working on his. You know, I just hope, you know, that those, that our delegation can come together and put an end to this, you know, 20-year stalemate and get something done. We just, they're all working on their own bills, and I think that it's time for us to kind of get an answer, because the you know, these communities are really suffering economically. We don't have a library. I mean, we have a community library. We have, you know, crime, and police force don't come when there's problems, and it's just bad. And the difference between somebody who's working and paying taxes instead of using social services is huge economically. So we think this is going to be a, our addition is going to be a boost to the community, but we also need those timber receipts for our counties to operate.
Okay, so a few months down the road, for sure, we're looking at Rough and Ready Lumber reopening. Jennifer Phillippe is the owner there. Thank you again so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Sure.
Good to have you. Bottom of the hour on the Jefferson Exchange, here's Garrison Keillor.